studying on Wednesday night and taking a look in the scripture about the enemies of Israel. And tonight, let's take a look, if you will, over in Psalm 83. This has been a verse from which has been our springboard to look into the scriptures and dig out about these different enemies. These things written in the Old Testament scriptures are given to us that we might be admonished by our Lord and learn from what the Lord has given dealing with those saints in Old Testament times. The brother that's writing here in Psalm 83, Brother Asaph, he's making a cry unto the Lord about the oppression of Israel by her enemies. I think he kind of, being on his side of the fence, if you will, he marvels that there would be enemies like this, but they are. And here in verses 6 and 8, it lists these enemies, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab, then the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre, Asher is also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. We've looked at many times about the promise that the Lord gave Abram in the day that he called him in Genesis 12. And in a nutshell, he says, if they curse you, Abram, I'm going to curse them. And if they bless you, I'm going to bless them. And that still stands today. It stands forever, doesn't it? Why? Because God said it. Jehovah God, whose son is the Lord Jesus Christ, he said these words unto that man that day, and he meant them, and he's kept them. And so don't be an enemy. Don't be an enemy of the Lord's nation. Don't be an enemy of the Lord's people. Don't be an enemy of God. It's certainly a lesson that we have here at hand. We've taken a look at several of these: Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarenes, and Gebal, Ammon, us, Amalek, we wrapped up last time, and the Philistines. Quite a bit mentioned about some, very little mentioned about others. Some of these we saw are established kingdoms of old, and they lasted for a long time, like the Amalekites. We saw the span that they were there in the land from Israel coming out of Egypt all the way to the days of Hezekiah, where I think it was we found that Simeon was going after him still. And so they seem to be on the run. Well, tonight we want to take a look, and it's nestled right in here in this list. We want to take a look at the inhabitants of Tyre, And interesting that that would be listed there, and it's that way. This is not it does represent a nation of a sort. You know, these as we've seen, like with the Philistines, they had several cities that were associated with them, and therefore from that a region. Tyre and Sidon. Which is mentioned much in the scripture, along with Sidon, they are an interesting lot. They're right there. Tyre and Sidon are right there on the Mediterranean Sea, and maybe you've got a map in your Bible that shows these cities on the Mediterranean, up there on north of the Sea of Galilee. To the northwest is Tyre, and then north of there is Sidon. Tyre is an old city. As far as history that we know, the heathen believe that this city was established even by some of their gods of mythology and related. But history that we have known is from the Bronze Age, the Late Bronze Age. This is 1350 to 1125 B.C., before David, in the time of the Judges. Okay, and so we have some written about that. This city spans from that time, and no doubt before, all the way down to the Greeks and the Romans. And it was of great notoriety. Why? its positioning there on the Mediterranean Sea. In its day, and in that span of time that I've mentioned, some 1,400 years known about Tyre, and of course Tyre has been there since the time of the Greeks and the Romans in the first century here A.D., it continues to be there and is a city and a people there. But in that span of time, there's no telling for that time how much wealth of the world went through that city. And that's why she became so very, very wealthy. A wealthy city. Ruled by the Zidonians. Well, the reason that that is the case is because of Tyre and Sidon. You might find that in the scripture spelled with an S. You might find it spelled with a Z. We understand it right. It's the same city and the same people. City-states, they kind of follow a thing like that, but they are confederate. And so the Sidonians ruled there for a few hundred years, from like 990 or 1000 to 785. The Assyrians took it over for a couple centuries, and then the Babylonians took it over after that. After that, the Persians took control over it, and there were other usurpers that moved in there over the course of a couple hundred years or a little bit less. Then the Persians took it back again, and then the Greeks and the Romans had at it. There's a lot of history there and a lot of things that have taken place. We find that Tyre, along with Sidon, is mentioned by our Lord, which we want to take a look at because I find that very interesting. There's few places of the Gentiles that the Lord mentions, but he mentions them for a reason. And so by this study, I pray, and I hope that this study hadn't bored you or bored you to tears by any means, but it's these things help us put the Bible together and then understand better about the references at hand, like in the New Testament, which we're interested in all the Bible, but you and I, we're really, really interested in the New Testament too, aren't we? And the Old Testament helps us understand the New. And so I trust that this will be a help to us. Let me get my notes straightened out here. I've got a lot of them. And that's dangerous because we've got so many papers, you can get lost in a hurry. But Tyre and Sidon, let's take a look at Joshua chapter 18. Let's understand about this place. And like I said, hopefully you've got a map, and I've got a map up here. We can get some copies of some maps if need be. But there's a significance, and this is something that I wondered about in regards to the Lord Jesus going up to that region and why. If the Lord Jesus in the day of his ministry went to a place, it was right for him to go to a place. But as we find it, the feel that I get from it, as we find it, as the Lord goes up there to that region of Tyre and Sidon, it's namely a Gentile affair. Okay. And so I've asked myself the question, why is it that the Lord would go up there? Well, there's a very good reason for that, because the Lord, he's not thinking and not operating in the day of his ministry according to what men have done and what the Gentiles have overcome. He's dealing with what the Lord gave his nation, and so that's the reason that we find him up there. In Joshua 18, verse number 10, we read here, "And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord." That is for the tribes of Israel. They're dividing up the land. Who goes where? What is it that they're supposed to go and conquer? And where is it that they're supposed to live? And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. We find here immediately that Benjamin is mentioned, and you come on down the chapter here in chapter 19, we see about Simeon. And we come here in chapter 19 to verse number 24, and here he's dealing with Asher. the tribe of Asher. In Joshua 19, verse number 24, "And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families." Now, the Lord's working in this. They're getting the piece of real estate that the Lord wants them to have. He's right. We may look at this as being left to chance, but it's not by any means left to chance. It's being revealed to Joshua that he might tell the nation. So many things connected with this. Faithfulness of fathers is connected with this. You understand that? Faithfulness of brother Joseph is connected with this. Because he's got two sons that Jacob took as his own sons. Ephraim and Manasseh. Same thing, he did the same thing that the Lord worked with between him and Esau. The younger is given the greater blessing, but yet the oldest is not left indeed without a place. This is being revealed unto them by the Lord, and it's Asher's turn. "The fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher according to their families," verse 25, "and their border was from Helkath, and Halai, and Beton, and Akshaph, and Alammelech, and Amad, and Mishael, and reacheth to Carmel westward, and to Shihor Libnath, and turneth toward the sun rising to Beth Dagon, and reacheth to Zebulun," that's already been established, "and to the valley of Jiphthael, toward the north side of Bethemek and Neiel, and goeth out to Kabul on the left hand, and Hebron, and Rehob, and Hammon, and Cana, even unto great Zidon." And so there we have mentioned that Asher has been given this territory that includes this great city. It's known as a great city even then. The existing cities are what's told that the region might be known. These are cities of the Canaanites. And some of that we can know, and some of that we just have to trust the map makers before us that give us an understanding of these borders. The map that you have in the back of your Bible that shows the division of the land in the 12 tribes of Israel, that's how they were developed, is from understanding about where these cities are. And verse 29, it goes on to say, "And then the coast turneth to Ramah and to the strong city of Tyre." Okay, so there's that. "And the coast turneth to Hosa, and the outgoings thereof are at the sea, from the coast of Akzib, Umma also, and Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages." Verse 31. "This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages." So that's what they got. When you take a look at that, and I hope you do have your map in the back of your Bible, you see that that is of the land as it was given to the children of Israel and the tribes of Israel. This inheritance is up here to the northwest on the Mediterranean Sea. But historically, and from the Bible, and historically, we find that evidently Asher had a hard time gaining ground over there at Sidon and Tyre. Because the Phoenicians, they were those in that day, they hung on to it tooth and nail. They were very, very wealthy, and they could hire mercenaries, and we understand that historically about Tyre and Sidon. And so they were strong. And Asher is on, Asher has responsible before the Lord on how they pursued and whether or not they asked their brethren to go up and help them and what they accomplished. But here we see the division. And so Just a little preview. The reason the Lord Jesus went up there is because Asher was to have that land. And even though the Phoenicians and the Romans at that time occupied it, the Greeks had occupied it before, it was to be Israel's. And so I believe that's the reason our Lord goes up there. And we'll see more about that as we delve into the New Testament. The next mention from Asher getting this inheritance here, we see this down in David's day. And so 2 Samuel chapter 5, we see mention here, and we begin to get a picture of the ability and the wealth of these of Tyre. That's the subject. It said over there in Psalm 83 that the inhabitants of Tyre are the ones that are listed, and I believe that Tyre and Sidon and the Zidonians, as they are known, is most likely the full reference. But certainly Tyre stands out with its history. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 1, "Then came all the tribes of the Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that leddest us out, leddest out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." So it's all of Israel. It's all 12 tribes, and Levi dispersed amongst her. And verse number 6, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither." And so I included this in this consideration about Tyre, because this is a passage that maybe this is a passage I've had trouble with in time past. What's the outlook of David? David's a compassionate man, isn't he? David's a shepherd, and David is a man that's he's small in stature himself, and he certainly knows what it is to be on the run and to be disadvantaged. And so when we come to this about the taking of Jerusalem, I've always scratched my head about this and seemingly David's insensitivity to those that have physical difficulties. Okay, and now these are Jebusites. They're the inhabitants of the land. They're Canaanites in general, Jebusites in particular, and they occupy Jerusalem. "Except I'll take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter, there of the walls and the defense at hand, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." So the blind and the lame. It's a threat that the Jebusites make. And off the bat, you and I would consider that that this is talking about folks that are disabled. And why would it be that David would have such a hatred for them? He is going to take Jerusalem, Salem in former days, and it's the working of the Lord, because that is the Lord's city. And so that's going to be. He's going to do that. The Lord's put it in his heart And is it so that they laid out the lame and the blind there on the defenses and the wall before David, thinking that that would keep him from coming in? Well, there's another thought that I've understood recently that could be. What is it that the Jebusites are? What is it that all of Canaan is? They're pagans. They're worshipers of idols. And so the Jebusites, it could be that rather than this being physically lame and physically blind, that the Jebusites put up their gods as a defense, who are indeed blind and cannot see, and who indeed cannot get up and walk around themselves, can they? We see that in the scripture that it's craziness. It's craziness for a man to worship a God that he's made himself, hewed out of a piece of a log, a God unto himself, maybe even overlaid it with gold and all that. And you know what? The man had to go out in the woods to get the piece of lumber to start with, the timber rather. He had to have a craftsman to hew it all out and give it eyes supposedly and a mouth supposedly and ears supposedly. Yet it cannot speak, and nor can it hear, and nor can it see. When the man wants it to move around, he doesn't ask his God to please move over here so we can clean up your shrine. No, he's got to get there and pick it up himself, because it is lame indeed. And so we could see that picture, couldn't we, that pagan idols of the heathen would indeed be despised by David. Because David knows the God of heaven and of glory, the God of Israel. And that God has spoken to him, hasn't he? He's revealed himself unto him. He has inquired of him, and God Almighty has answered and helped him. David says, every whit of my life and every ability I have is from Jehovah God. And so, just a thought there to chew on, and if you have any thoughts about that, I'm interested in it. Verse 11, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, once he had taken Jerusalem, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David a house. Verse 12, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. I love that about David. David is interested in being king at the command of the Lord and for the benefit of the nation. That is David's interest. That is David's interest. Well, we see as he is prospering and the Lord is blessing in his ruling, Hiram, king of Tyre, has sent messengers. He's also sent him some material and some carpenters and some masons from that very, very wealthy city. Remember what it said over there in Joshua? I understand in the time of Joshua's day, when they divided out the land, Joshua's reign, which that dividing of the land could be from early, I say Joshua's reign, his time as leader in Israel, that was a span of 40 years. So let's say take 20 years for Joshua. That was done early on. So let's take 30 years for Joshua. 450 years of the judges. Now we're at 480. Another 40 years for Saul to reign. Now we're at 520. Tyre was called a great city then. And now this Hiram, one of the early historically known kings of Tyre, is sending gifts unto David for the building of his house, his palace, if you will. We go over here to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We can see some more about this. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And remember here recently what we've discovered about Chronicles, the 1st and 2nd Chronicles, is that it seems to have been written much later than the 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. It mentions about Hezekiah on down, who is way on down the line in the list of kings of Judah, but it mentions him early before actual events regarding David are mentioned. And so we have a hint there about when it's written. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, let me get caught up with you here. verse number 1, we see here this. And then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, so they're Sidon, Tyre, are affiliated, and they are from the days of the Phoenicians and these Zidonian rulers, and they for the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. The cedar's of Lebanon. Okay, we hear about that in the scripture. And so they're providers for that, this King Tyre, Hiram, king of Tyre. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." And we saw about that Sunday, some of the things that the Lord said about blood and his particularness about such. "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." And so David heard this from the Lord even before Solomon was born. "He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father," the Lord speaking of Solomon, "and will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son," speaking to David, "the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou," or David speaking to Solomon, "and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed." Verse 14, "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and of timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." So we see here that David's preparation, the charge of the Lord that Solomon would build the house rather than David. And we saw here where the Zidonians, the inhabitants of Tyre, were involved in supplying much of that wood and material for that building. In David's day also, and coming nearer to the end of his life, we see this about this mention of Tyre. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24, we read this. David has numbered the people. He's fallen to that temptation, and he's numbered the people. And so Joab is given that job to go about. And Joab knows that they're not supposed to number the people, and he half-heartedly goes at it. I think he maybe says something to the king, but he yields and goes ahead. In verse number 4, it says, "Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host." And so they go out. The armies go out to do this numbering. We're interested here in verse number 6 and 7. They came to Gilead and to the land of Hodshai, and they came to Dan Jaan, and about Zidon. So they went up that far and came to the stronghold of Tyre. And so here it's a stronghold, it's a defense. If I understand it right, historically at this time, it's built on the land proper. And it is a great seaport. And because of its positioning on the Mediterranean, it's there in the midst of traffic coming and going. The trade routes of the east are coming there, and from there they can go west and vice versa. From the north of Africa and from whatever's going on in that day over in Europe, they're able to come and go through there. And we'll see more about what's going on in regards to Tyre here in verses to come. So they come to the stronghold of Tyre. Now, and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites. So here we see Asher should be occupying, but it doesn't seem like they are. And they went up there close to the cities. But we know historically that the Jews don't have those cities. They don't run them. Now, we've seen already about how the king of Tyre helped, and the Zidonians, those of Zidon and those people in between, they helped David with material early on in mid part of his reign. And now here towards the latter part of David's life, as he looks to number the people, those cities haven't been taken by Asher. It's a stronghold. It's a great defense. And all the cities of the Hivites, verse 7, and the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, and to Beersheba. Pardon me. So we see here about the strength there, and yet these cities should be part of Asher, but are not. The inhabitants there are strong indeed. We come to the days of Solomon. We've seen about the days of David. And this Hiram, king of Tyre, I invite you to turn over here to 1 Kings 5, and we'll just read this and have this to chew on. Maybe you might want to read ahead. I would encourage you to do that. And this is a good study. We talked about how to use a concordance in time past, and that's how you try to flush all this stuff out and find out the connections. And I was talking to a brother here some time ago. It's work to do it. You gotta do some work to do it. Here in Solomon's day, we're down below 1000 BC. Solomon's day and reign, we understand to be 970 to 931, where Brother David's was from 1010 to 970 or so BC. We see this here in 1 Kings 5. And Hiram, king of Tyre, remember him, sent his servants unto Solomon. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. Listen, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. Now, they got along. The king of Tyre was a man that appreciated David and appreciated a fighting man. Now, you got to understand, King Hiram was a man that hired fighters, hired an army. They had all the money that had money in an abundance. And we understand historically, they had more money than they could ever spend. And when you've got loot, you need to protect loot. It's just the way that it is. Men are no different now than they've ever been. And so he had a defense. And it was a stronghold indeed, and it's on the land proper. And that's important. We'll see some of that to come in our research and our look-see at Tyre. But he sends to Solomon, he's happy for him. He loved David and he was a friend to David. And the thing is David was reciprocal in that from the standpoint of receiving those goods and that. Solomon is going to look to pay King Hiram of Tyre. We'll see about that next time, Lord willing. But it should have been Asher's ground. Should have been Asher's cities. And it wasn't. And that's going to, we're going to see about problems of that, ultimately what we've read there in Psalm 83. But nevertheless, Hiram sent a great greeting to Solomon, and no doubt he knew about the charge that David had given Solomon of the Lord about building his temple. There's some other things that we'll be touching on in the midst of this that are relevant even to our day. And so you'll be praying that the Lord will help us and bless us indeed. Tyre and Sidon. One of the things that the Lord Jesus says about Tyre and Sidon is if the gospel that was preached in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ had been preached in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Jesus said they would have repented long ago. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that Jesus knows that? Jesus knows that they were heathen and they needed salvation. But the providence of the Lord was, and the working of the Lord was, is that this contact with David and this contact with Solomon was all the witness that Tyre had. Not the gospel. Not the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't taken there, wasn't preached there, until the Lord Jesus himself went there. Isn't that interesting what the Lord knows? Isn't that interesting about you? Yeah, you. Each and every one of us that are here tonight, we've been blessed to be multiple times in the presence of the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you receive it? Will you believe it? Will you understand and know that you are a sinner and you need salvation and you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? I pray you do. You've got a great blessing. The kingdom of God has come very, very, very close to you. I pray you hear the word. I pray that you hear the word. Isn't that something that in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he dealt with these different cities there in Israel, the gospel that was preached to them, they rejected. And the Lord said, had it been preached in Tyre and Sidon, they would have yielded and repented and believed. There are rejectors. Don't be the enemy of God. There's no future in being the enemy of God. And I pray that the Lord will help and bless and work. Give his word, his gospel, is the truth of his word, free course in each and every one of our hearts. We who are saved, isn't it a wonderful blessing to be rescued from being an enemy of the Lord? Yeah, it's only by what he's done for us and what he's shown us that we are not his enemies. As his children, may we never behave like his enemies either. Amen. We've been saved from that.